You know, everyone else has stayed on time, which means I'm doomed right off the bat. It just never happens at APHA. So I will try. Mara Leon, my colleague at Canyon Ranch Institute, is not here because her travel plans were waylaid by the Venezuelan government. So I'm filling in at the last minute. Sorry, because her Spanish is way better than mine. We're going back to South America, particularly Peru. First, just because no one's ever heard of the Canyon Ranch Institute, I figure it's worth sharing a couple slides about what we do for background. 501c3 nonprofit public charity. We work very hard to focus on prevention of chronic disease in a variety of partnerships with a variety of organizations. So, yes, I do have disclosures, and it always feels like that should be like a red scarlet thing or something here. But I have to tell you, one of my disclosures is the project I'm going to tell you is fully funded by the Clorox company. We have another project that was fully underwritten by Merck. It has never been a better partnership between a funder and a project on the ground in terms of them staying out of the way. Clorox is funding what I'm going to tell you about. We have absolutely zero requirements to talk about bleach or Clorox products whatsoever. That was established from the get-go, the same with Merck. If you do it right, there's absolutely nothing wrong with partnering with a for-profit organization. There's my little 5 minutes dumb speech on that. But you can see we work with a lot of different organizations as well around the world now. This project we call the Arts for Behavior Change in Lima, Peru, ABC in Lima. That is the full partnership there, a mixture of organizations from the U.S., international for-profit, as well as local nonprofit arts and social science organizations in Lima, Peru. So really, everyone there, as well as I'll show you everyone in the communities where we're working, are really the co-authors of this project because it's a very participatory process. At this point in time, we think that what we're doing is a relatively new approach. Maybe the first time, hopefully some of you will correct me on that and say, oh no, we did that 10 years ago. And what we're doing is taking as a theoretical basis the idea of health literacy. How many of you have heard of health literacy before? Just so I know, because it's not that old of an idea still. Okay. And Theater of the Oppressed, which is actually an older idea but less well known. How many have heard of Theater of the Oppressed? 1, 2, 3. See, that's what I thought. So I'll have to spend a little time explaining what these mean. The goals of the project are that, in essence, right? Develop the intervention, combine a mixed media artistic approach in the community to advance health literacy with the goal of improving household hygiene-related behaviors, improve the hygiene level within the house. Part of our evaluation is a microbiological assessment within the households, and ultimately reduce the risk and improve public health. This graphic is actually from the history of Theater of the Oppressed. The fundamental notion comes from a Brazilian scholar named Paulo Freire, whose ideas were adapted into theater by another Brazilian named Augusto Boal. So if you want to look for Theater of the Oppressed, you'll see he's really the godfather of the idea. The notion is that the culture controls the education and thus the teacher, which in turn controls the education of the student, which makes it very hard to overturn social paradigms because there's an outside force at play. We believe the same is true in public health, especially when you think of traditional public health education. So I'll talk about that more as we go, how we've changed things. So if this theory holds true, the dominant culture and the environment, of course, of a community determine public health status. Both of these ideas, health literacy, the way that we take it, which is not as a set of skills and abilities, but as a theory of behavior change, which is a little different than most people, and Theater of the Oppressed are tools to cut those strings of control within a community. Here's how we approach health literacy as, in fact, a theory of health behavior change. That first of all, people and health professionals, this applies to everyone, not just the public. Doctors have bad health literacy a lot, trust me. Have to find information first. If you don't know where it is, you're not going to get anywhere else. And navigating information is a maze everywhere in the world now. Then you have to understand it. And right about there is where traditional health education models stop. Like, oh, did you gain knowledge? Yes, I did. I learned what you told me, and I can successfully repeat it. And that tends to be in the traditionalist mode where the evaluation stops. We think you have to go further than that. And this is actually out of order, that next you have to evaluate that information. Understand what it means in the context of your life. Is it relevant or not? Is it practical or not? Is it doable? Is it affordable or not? Then you have to communicate it. And my best example of this is actually from another program. where a woman walked in for the pre-evaluation. We found out that her cholesterol was sky high. It was well over 200. So they immediately walked her to medical care because she hadn't been to a doctor for years and years and years. After she got out of that process and went home, she completely threw away all the junk food in the house, everything. Her daughters came home and threw a fit. Why? Because she hadn't explained to them, communicated why she was doing it and why it was important. So we had to work with her to do that. You have, if you're going to get people to change their behaviors in a household, they have to communicate it. And that's something that most people don't work to support either. Finally, then people will use the information to make an informed decision. If you want to read more about that, look up Calgary Charter on Health Literacy, and you'll see that whole model of health literacy explained a little bit more. Visually, it looks just like this, that in fact, find, understand, evaluate, communicate, use. That's the theory of behavior change that we evaluate and put into all of our projects. So it's not this notion of, if I just tell you cleaning your house is a good thing, enough times that you remember it, you'll actually do it, which is more or less a simplification of most of health education theories that exist in the world today. Theater of the oppressed is actually a family of methods that view, they come out of the notion that literacy and engagement are empowerment, that that's how people can control their lives and make informed decisions. When we combine the two, it's because there are a lot of things in common, but it's not just about communicating a message successfully. Both of those schools of thought believe that. They try to construct knowledge through collaboration in a community to empower people to make decisions about their own lives. And to the extreme, even if they disagree with the evidence-based approach, it's still their decision. And you have to respect that to some extent. In Theater of the Oppressed, the audience has to participate in the theatrical performance. And I'll tell you more about that as we go, but the term in English is they become spectators, because they're both spectators and they participate as actors, so they control the conclusion of the presentation itself, and this builds power in the audience. We use narratives that we identified in the formative research part. We present a health problem in the theatrical presentation in the community. This is a shanty town, a pueblo jóvenes, a sentimientos humanos, depending on which phrase you like. Then the audience participates and develops a solution that they think will work in their lives. There's a role called the joker, the person who intervenes between the theater and the audience, the facilitator in Spanish. In Theater for Health, this model, that person has to be a health professional. And that's how this is different from Theater of the Oppressed, because it's all evidence-based. Theater of the Oppressed has no requirement for that whatsoever. So we've done 12 episodes. We're actually, this Sunday was week 7, so we're totally in progress on that. We've got 5 more to go. They're all written in advance, but we modify every week through a focus group with the actors that's based on 20 walkaway interviews that we do with community members every week. So it's a dynamic story that's changing as we go. We have big festivals at the first and the last. In parallel with the performances, we hold workshops on things like how to make your house warmer with available supplies and no money, or how to build Christmas decorations that you can sell. It's all focused on community empowerment. We've played a lot with different incentives to get people to come. So on average, we get about 100 adults and 45 or 50 children at each performance every week. Our sample for the baseline and the post-data collection is 250 households. And it'll be the same match sample at the plus 6 month. We'll go back 6 months later, doing a match pre-post and post-post. Including a subsample of that is the microbiology, because nobody has the money to do 250 houses. This is the logic model. You can read it quicker than I can tell you, but just know that it does exist. And we believe, based on qualitative reports out of those 20 walkaways, that we know we're changing behaviors in some households already. This is just what it looks like in general. Minas dos Mil is the name of the community. The top left is the general conditions. Those blue containers are what people keep their drinking and household use water in. It's delivered by a truck already contaminated. So before it gets to the community, it's unsafe, right off the bat. Next to that is the general living. That's the backyard of a young woman's house. And you'll see the toilet right there. Yep. And then a couple performance views from the actual performances. Bottom left is the facilitator engaging with a community member after the performance. And that big group picture is actually not a performance. This is the craziest thing that ever happened to me in my life. We visited the community after the formative research was conducted, but before the baseline, and word got out that we were there, and the community threw a party for us to say thank you for doing the project. It, never in my life. And that's an actor portraying the risk from animals in the household, contaminated food and cooking surfaces, which was really a popular theme in the first couple weeks. So that, on time, is all I can say in 10 minutes. Thank you very much.